It's 88.5 KCSN. Sky Daniels, joined by Michael Cronin. Welcome, Michael.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Appropriately titled, as you can continue a tradition, MC3.
Right.
It, from where I sit and watching your solo career evolve, I'm getting a sense that you're liking to think big, and you're starting to expand your sound. And on this record, while you played most of the instruments, you've incorporated horns, strings, and the like.
Yeah.
Talk to me about how you see, and now the band, I guess, too, is being expanded on the road.
Yeah.
So talk about.
Yeah. I've been getting more interested in arrangements and playing with that side of things, and just trying to start out with the most solid, bare-bones song possible. But yeah, I think I've always, from the beginning, been really interested in those, in kind of a big type, big sounding record with a lot of different elements. But I'm finally getting a little more confident in my ability to do it.
And understanding what goes into getting that
sound. Yeah, exactly. It took me a few records, a few years to like finally, kind of have the guts to get a, higher string quartet for a few hours and really incorporate horns and stuff. It keeps it really interesting for me and really fun.
Have any of your own personal influences who you know, set certain standards for you when it comes to the idea of how a song should go and evolve?
Well, yeah, I mean, we were just talking about Pet Sounds. I mean, definitely, that's been a huge record for me for many years. I feel like I would never compare myself to Brian Wilson and Pet Sounds, but it's definitely like what's really interesting to me right now and where I'm kind of going for.
What's your thoughts in terms of, I guess for lack of a better word, maintaining a conventional song structure?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought about that a lot because I went to music school here in LA, CalArts, and they're really focused on new music, and we studied a lot of like atonality, like just, you know, getting farther and farther out. So I think about that a lot, but I really like and respect a solid pop song, you know? And I don't know, I like the idea of getting out there and getting weird, experimenting. I've been focused on, I just like really solid songs. And then, you know, finding ways to make it more interesting. I record a lot weirder stuff at home than I actually like put out, you know, just throughout the years. And I don't know. Yeah. And it's also just with like just arranging, even if it's not getting out there like atonally or experimentally, even arrangements, like it's really easy to go way too far with it, like kind of tasteless, like overproduced madness. So yeah, it's my process a lot of the time is like just throwing everything when I'm like demoing at home, just throw every idea I have and then start like chipping away at things. Thank you.
What creates your reticence? Where do you start to say, is it, it's not emotionally moving you forward? Is it just the song structure's too
difficult? And also, a lot of the time, it's definitely like I subconsciously ripped somebody else off, and that's really easy to do. So I kind of, if I'm really deep in like the writing process, I don't listen to a lot of music because it's so easy to like be listening to like a love record, and then somewhere deep in the back of your head, like there's a melody like stuck in there, and then you write something and the melody comes out, and then you realize a couple days later,
now I know where that chord change
came from. Yeah, exactly. Huh. And sometimes you can just work through that and just use that influence and change it just enough to make it your own. But
you still know you're cheating.
I know. Well, there's been a couple songs where I think on most every record, there's at least one line that's directly taken from like a Beatles song, not a lyrical line, but like like on my first record, there's a song where there's a saxophone part, and for some reason the last part of Hey Jude, just I put it in as a joke, but I kind of liked it and it kind of worked.
You have an incredible slate of shows here in Los Angeles throughout the summer and into the fall. You're going to be playing with Death Cab at the Hollywood Bowl on July 12th.
That's crazy.
A killer opportunity.
I know.
You're going to do FYF Fest right after that.
That's a
which,
fun
again,
one.
Is tremendous.
It's a great one.
And then I learned something today that I think is definitely worth sharing with our audience. I knew you were going to be playing with Father John Misty at the Wiltern in mid-October. But then you told a story earlier of why the Wiltern has a special significance for you.
Well, yeah, my parents were very excited because that was the location of their first date.
Get up off your back. There's a vision of a future where the catacombs of mindfulness will stay. This is not your fate. Hear the music that surrounds you, take control and feel the braces fall away. This is what I've got. This is what I'm looking for. Just please be all around, be all around. Yeah, please be all around, be all around. Circle back around. It is endlessly exploring ground. Uneasy is the trail that takes you down. Here is just a stay. Remember where we're coming from, cause you'll be there again until you've found. This is what I've got. This is what I'm looking for. Just please be all around, yeah, please be all around, be all around, yeah, please be all around, be all around, yeah, please be all around, be all around. Thank you. is what I've got. This is what I'm looking for. Just please be all around, be all around. Yeah, please be all around, be all around. Yeah, please be all around, be all around. Yeah, please be all around.
We appreciate you coming in. Great session today. We want to remind everybody the upcoming date at the Hollywood Bowl with Depp Cab, F-Fest in August, and then Father John Misty. The album is MC3. We've talked about where you can see him, and of course, we appreciate you playing for us today. Michael, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
You got it.